I want to preach a message entitled Protection for Expansion. Everyone say protection for expansion. We're in this series on vision. We're talking about the vision of our church. And really, I believe that God has a vision for your life and my life individually. When God moves in our lives, he does things invariably that we can't do for ourselves. He stretches us beyond our limitations. And then God gets the glory for what he does. Can someone say amen to that? And how many know that when we step out and expand in any form, how many know there's challenges along the way? And so I want to talk about that today and how I believe God is protecting us as a church, protecting us as individuals, as we move in what God would have us to do. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. I want to read these verses. I am going to read other verses, but I want to focus on these two. This is the final words of Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. And Paul says this, if you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, follow me on the screen here. Verse 10 and 11, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Then he says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Maybe circle this or write this down in your notes. Notice this, that you and I can stand firm against all strategies of the devil. I want to highlight that the devil does have strategies against you and I. But there's good news. God has strategies too, right? And God has a plan for our life. And so I want to talk about the armor of God, make this very succinct today, and tie this into our lives and how you and I can move forward one step at a time. So Father, I thank you for this second worship experience today. Please receive our worship today, and we ask you for more Holy Spirit in this place. I pray you keep us safe in this moment as we go about our week. I pray that all of us, Lord, would lay down resistance, set aside distractions. We would open our heart, lean in and receive something and then apply something to our life today. That any scatteredness or distraction be dispelled right now. And I pray that all of us hone in and receive what you're saying, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Expansion. Have you noticed that every time you try to expand in your life, there's always challenges or resistance along the way? If you've started a business, how many know it's hard to get started? And there's obstacles that want to block you before you even get started. For those of us that are married, how many know that you fell in love, you got engaged, and then when you got married, it's a form of expanding a family, expanding a family legacy. How many know that when a man and a woman get together in marriage, it's great and it's a challenge? How many know that's true? Kind of a nervous hush came over the room just now, but it's true what I'm saying. You step out for God in any capacity, there's always going to be resistance. In fact, if you read the Bible, there's resistance every time God wanted to move. It felt like, it seems like, we read, the devil would always have an enemy step up and try to stop God's plan. Then God would come through and help his people achieve the purpose of God. So this is true. This is a real thing that you and I have. In fact, even just, I would say, personal growth. Have you noticed how easy it is to eat a whole bag of Doritos? Do you know how easy that is compared to how challenging it is to plan a week out for healthy meals and eat those meals? Can I get a witness? I've tried and failed, folks. Doritos sounds better. Come on now. So even personal growth with getting in shape or lifting weights or eating healthy or whatever it is, saving money, et cetera, there's always like this, at times, resistance, and it's easier to take the lower road than to maybe the growth road. But there's something to that. God wants to move. And yet, when we expand as a church and as individuals, we need God's protection along the way. Can someone say amen? I want to just highlight something real quick and give you an insight, because this year we're expanding as a church in different ways. And I want to give you an update before I really get into this message. For example, this is real life, City Kids. How many love City Kids? Pastor Nikki and her team do a great job, not babysitting, teaching, leading our children. Well, we have the monies to remodel the City Kids wing, add 3 new classrooms, expand, maximize really every space that we got because we needed in the City Kids wing. When we stepped out to do that, all these months, it's been months now this year, we've been navigating city permitting. Amen. And so, and I'm not putting down the city. We know the mayor. We've met with her. I pray for the mayor every day. We don't have to agree on every point to be for people and pray for people and ask God to bless people for our city. So we're not here to agree on every point. I don't care about that. We're here to serve our city and to be the light of Jesus. And so I'm not, you know, shedding a wrong light on the city process, but city permitting can be a challenge. And really what it boils down to is they want us to put a sprinkler system in the whole original building, which is an astronomical cost. And so we have a team that is helping us get around that in Jesus' name. We're almost to the end of this permitting process. We're going to remodel City Kids in Jesus' name. Yes, we are. So thank you for your prayers. And Nikki's, our pastor Nikki's doing a great job. And then the downtown campus. I have good news. We are under contract on a building in the downtown corridor. Come on, right now, in Jesus' name. When we set out, Summer and I was fully planning, budgeting, doing all the things to prepare for a 3 to 5 year lease, think about getting the right location after that, and just take it one step at a time. But we are surprised and shocked that we have really the opportunity to buy a building and to have ownership in the downtown area. So we're under contract, but if you can be praying, now we have to make sure we go through city permitting. And so we're going through all the things about usage and all the things that we have to do, our due diligence. I'm not going to leave the church over a cliff. So I'm more probably boring than I am exciting. Just pray for my wife. I'm probably more cautious than I am risk-taking, in that I want to make sure we honor you, honor God first, of course, and that we do our due diligence to make sure that the city will let us convert this into a church and do all the things that we want to do. And so I say this to say, when you step out, how many know there's resistance? I'm not trying to make it over spiritual, but it is spiritual, right? And when we step out and do something, there's things that happen along the way, and we need God's protection, and God will help us. And I believe we're going to get that downtown building in Jesus' name. Something's going to happen for our good. We have a meeting tomorrow. Be in prayer for that. We have a meeting again in July, and we'll know a lot as we move forward after the meeting tomorrow, and then, of course, in July. Why is this, though? Who are we fighting? Who are we fighting? What is this resistance on expansion? Why is this even an issue? Let's go to the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'll put it on the screen. And the Bible says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. I know this sounds going to be strange for some of us, almost like a video game, but this is biblical. You and I are fighting against invisible forces that are evil, that are trying to dismantle God's plan, God's purpose, and God's, you know, I would say his agenda in an individual life and for a local church. In fact, really the enemy wants to, I would say, deceive you and I and make us think that our wife or our husband is our enemy, that our parents are our enemy, that our boss is our enemy. Right now in this political climate, that the Republicans or the Democrats are our enemy, or that, you know, whatever it is, that's the enemy. And so we fight against people, but the Apostle Paul says, don't do that. We're fighting against spiritual forces. In fact, if you don't mind, turn to your neighbor, especially if it's your spouse, look him in the eye and say, you are not my enemy. Just tell somebody that right now. And for the married couples, that just sparked a honeymoon all over again in the name of Jesus right there. Just bam. I said that in the first worship experience, and a guy over here said, hallelujah. He screamed it, hallelujah. He's excited. God helped him today. So we're fighting against real things. And notice the devil has strategies, folks. The devil has strategies, but Jesus has defeated the devil. I said, Jesus has defeated the devil. So you and I, it's up to us. You and I have to put on, as you're going to hear me say here and preach, in verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, this is not physical. Of course, this is spiritual. And I want you to follow along, take notes today, because for you and I to expand in our life, for God to move in our life, for God to do something in our lives, expect resistance, but don't stop at the resistance. Push through it and let Jesus help you have victory in every area of your life. Because there's a miracle, there's a great blessing on the other side of this resistance. So what is the whole armor of God? I'm not going to read all these verses, but for your notes, verses 13 through 18 highlights the armor of God. I'm going to break it down one by one and make it real succinct and to the point today so all of us can apply this spiritually to our life so that you and I can expand and do what God wants us to do individually and as a church. So we see here the Apostle Paul is commissioning this church of Ephesus, which was a major city at that time and a major church at that time. And he's telling them to put on the whole armor of God. And he starts off by saying this, and he's using a Roman soldier armor as the picture of a spiritual truth. Rome, at its height, had a third of the world's population under its dictatorship, including the Jewish people. And so when we see this dynamic, Paul is using the Romans as a backdrop to his truth. And so even there was corruption back then, there's corruption now. I just want to just stop here for a minute before I go into this. Everything we see right now in the world, in our country, obviously the devil uses people. We understand that. I'm not trying to make it mystical. We understand that people can be used to do evil and good. But ultimately, we're fighting against what I read, which is spiritual forces. And you and I have to know that. Hate, violence, racism, just all of the corruption, all that we see, it's really from the enemy. God wants to use you and I as the church to be an answer to reflect Jesus in our world. For example, I pray, I want everyone to follow my example. We get caught up in Israel and Gaza, you know, and Palestinians, people are protesting and wanting to kill Israel. That's, you know, wrong. Wanting to kill the Palestinians, that wrong. And that's wrong too. I pray for all, I list off every Middle Eastern country every day. Israel, Palestine, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Egypt. And I pray for all those people because all of them are precious to God. And God promised Israel to be his people. And so I pray for all people. I don't get caught up in political bantering. I focus on the word and pray for souls. It's quiet in this place, but that's good. I don't get caught up. I understand what I'm actually praying against and what's actually happening. In our families, in our cities, our neighborhoods. We're praying, yes, people can be used, but we're praying against spirits. And we understand that when we keep the main thing, we're not duped into getting mad at people and getting into wrong actions. We're staying focused on what Jesus said to do and having victory in the Holy Spirit. Can someone say amen today? Let's give Jesus a praise before I move on here. We got to get this in our spirit. So, how do you and I do this? What's the word of God say? Number one, he says the helmet of salvation. Please say that with me, the helmet of salvation. Obviously, in this time, a helmet was huge to protect soldiers from blows against the head that would kill them. For you and I spiritually, this is referencing that you and I have God's helmet of salvation to keep our minds healthy and straight and right. Because all of us in this room and online know our thoughts are crazy every single day. I've said this so many times, I'm going to say it again. The average person has 60,000 thoughts a day, 80% are negative, 90% are repetitive. So we're already bent toward wrong in our thought life. All my thoughts are not God-breathed thoughts. Same for you. Some are, many are not. What are we going to do with that? The enemy loves, one of the strategies of the devil against you and I is to put in our head wrong ideas, wrong imaginations, wrong thoughts, and to get you and I off track and to mess us up and to cause our minds to really be distracted, confused, and totally out of control. And God has something better for you and I. And you and I must put on the helmet of salvation and have our thoughts be steadfast on God and through his word that we're filtering through, I would even say, our thoughts that are not clean, evil thoughts, and God's thoughts. And that we're filtering through it, understanding what's going on. And we don't let our thoughts take us into wrong things. Now, our thoughts will never be 100% perfect. We're going to get weird thoughts. The issue is, what do we do with them? Who are we letting control our thought life? God's word or ourselves or someone else or even the enemy himself? And so everyone in this room has a mental battle at some level, some more than others. I understand that. But this is a real thing. And the Bible says in James that the enemy sows wrong ideas and thoughts in our mind. And when we feed on it, meditate on it, it gets in our heart and sin is produced through our lives. And it all starts right here in our minds. And so you and I need the helmet of salvation to resist the enemy, to resist what the enemy is trying to do. Sometimes we get thoughts that are totally off base, but people follow those thoughts and they end up into disaster. You and I have to have the helmet of salvation spiritually and say, God, I put your helmet on my head and I want your thoughts over my thoughts. I want your ways over my ways. And that's ambiguous. So how do I get his thoughts? How do I get his ways? I get it through his word and I get into the Bible and I see what God is telling me. And then when I have a contrary thought to God's word, I go to the Bible and I say, no, that's a lie. Here's what the Bible says. I believe what God says. It's clear for us. We need to understand the Bible calls Satan two things, well, many things, but two specifically. He's the father of lies, John 10, and he's the author of confusion. So he's going to lie to us and try to confuse us. If you're confused, God's spirit's not in it. God doesn't move in confusion. He moves in clarity. We may not know everything, but there's clarity. There's focus. And we know what we're doing. We're not in a fog. We're not in a cloud. And we're not being lied to with lying thoughts, lying whispers. You and I have to have the helmet of salvation and have our head be right. And how many know this is an everyday decision? Can someone say amen? Some people I've heard in the past actually pray the armor of God this way. They'll say every morning, I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, etc. I don't really do it that way, but I do exercise this principle and I put on the armor of God. And however it, you know, I would say means for you, please hear this message as an encouragement and a warning that the devil has strategies to ruin your marriage, to ruin your family. God's will is sovereign. Yes, God wants to do his work, but best believe the devil's trying to stop it. And you and I can't be on the sidelines, sitting on the bench, thinking that God's going to do whatever he wants, and we don't do anything. We have to stand up. We have to fight the fight of faith, put on the armor of God, and say, no, enemy, you're not taking this land. You're not taking my family. You're not taking my marriage. You're not taking my purpose. I have a plan from God, and I'm going to do it. Amen. Like the Pacers tonight, they're going to do it. In Jesus' name. The second thing, this is big, the Bible says the breastplate of righteousness in verse 14. Say that with me, breastplate of righteousness. Big deal back in the old days of warfare. It was a piece of armor that covered, obviously, the heart, the lungs, kept them safe from spears, swords, and arrows that would kill them upon certain puncture wounds. Spiritually speaking, this may be the most important piece of the armor, I believe, because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything in our life, all the issues of our life are stemming from our heart. And so what the strategy of the devil is against you and I, just believe it, just believe it. The strategy of the devil against our lives is to corrupt our heart. And he corrupts our heart with being offended, being mad at God, letting church hurt, which I know it's real. I'm not here to minimize it, but letting church hurt take us away from God and away from God's word. Mad at delays, mad at people, worked up on side issues, not focused on God, boiling on the inside, using different tangents to sound good, but the bottom line is we're offended. And we have misplaced expectations and we're disappointed and the enemy is sowing. Remember, the devil doesn't come to us in a pitchfork and red horns. He's very subtle. I would even say secret. He's secretive. It's very cunning. And this is a big one. We have to have the breastplate of righteousness that you and I keep our heart clean before God. Psalms 51:17. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Then he said, you desire a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you are not despised. We don't follow our heart. My heart just tells me to leave my wife. My heart just tells me to find someone younger than me. No, I don't follow my heart. I lead my heart with what God is telling me to do from his word. Well, my heart's just telling me to, you know, do this or do this. No, the Bible says that my heart is wicked. So I have to make a decision, who is going to lead my life? And I have to have my heart clean and purified before the Lord. I have to put on the armor of God. I have to let God speak to me. I have to have the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, keep my heart clean before the Lord. And I tell my heart, this is what we're doing. We're serving God, we're staying faithful, and we're doing it God's way. We have to do that every day. But our emotions, our feelings, the mystery of the heart, not the organ, but the soul, the heart of a man. And don't think, well, I've done this long enough. I've seen seasoned preachers fall, friends fall. Don't think it's, well, that the strong Christians are exempt. No one is exempt. Every one of us has to keep our heart clean before God, because if we're not careful, our heart can get crooked and then we get bent out of shape. And the enemy can lead us astray. This is why we have to have the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? That means instead of hating someone, I forgive them. Instead of hating someone, I love them. Instead of choosing pride, I choose humility. Instead of being a divider, I'm a unifier. Instead of, you know, hating people and, you know, causing drama, I'm bringing peace. I'm a peacemaker. I'm doing it God's way, and I'm letting my heart be purified in the process. How's your heart today? Husbands, if you're married, how's your heart towards your wife? Wives, how's your heart towards your husband? How's your heart towards your parents, your children, your neighbor, your workers, or your coworkers, your boss? How's your heart towards people that don't like you and that you don't like them? How's your heart towards people that disagree 1,000% with everything you believe? How's your heart toward them? Because the Holy Spirit wants us to be protected from the strategy of the enemy and have the breastplate of righteousness. Can someone say amen? Let's keep going. Then we have the third one, the belt of truth. Everyone say belt of truth. This is in verse 14. The armor of the soldiers back then had a belt that it would keep the armor together and intact and in order as they fought with it. And the belt of truth for us today is not a belt. Aren't you glad for belts? Hold your pants up. Come on now. That's a good thing. But spiritually, this belt of truth is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This right here, this is the Bible. This is the Word of God. And I've seen a few YouTube videos, and then there's a big push right now. Let's dismantle the Bible over lies that say this word doesn't mean that, and there was no Hebrew word for this, and all this garbage. How prideful for a human being to look at God and say, you didn't mean that. I'm gonna tell you what you mean. I'm gonna make this book fit to my narrative. I'm gonna change it so I feel better about myself. Let me tell you something. God is the creator. God's in charge. He's the king. He's the Lord. He's the master. He is the one that created all of this. He set the laws of nature in place. We don't change him. He changes us. And the belt of truth is the Word of God. I'm wasting my time. We're wasting our time to sit here and try to think, well, this doesn't mean this, and this doesn't mean that, and this allows me to do this, and this allows me to do that, and ooh, I feel better about myself. That's a waste of time. And we're denying the power of God. The power of God comes through the Word of God. And when you have the belt of truth and you believe the Word of God, let the Word of God get in you. I understand sometimes it's hard for us. Sometimes we're convicted. Sometimes the laws of nature and sometimes the plan of God, it's hard to digest, but swallow it down. It's spinach for our soul. It will heal our broken body. It will heal our broken mind. It will fix our broken family, and it will lift us up out of the ash heap of generational curses and give us a new way of living and set us free from the plot of the devil, because God has a plan and a strategy for my life. I'm not going to let anyone diminish the Word of God, and don't let anyone do it to you. Of course, we have discernment. Of course, we have proper understanding. Of course, we have proper disseminating of information. Of course. But we don't mitigate the Word. We receive the Word. This is the belt of truth. And when you have the belt of truth, you receive something from God. In fact, you know, every morning I get up and I pray this one prayer every day. There's about 12 names for God in the Old Testament. One of the names for God is Adonai, which means Lord and Master. The Hebrew people would say, Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. And every morning I get up and there's a part of my prayer pattern and I say, Lord, I praise you for what you've done. I'll worship you for who you are. And then I'll say every morning, God, today, you're my Adonai. You are my Lord and Master. You are in charge of my life, and I will do life your way. I will say what you say, and I will go where you tell me to go. And I am not in charge. You are in charge. And I pray for all of us in this room and online. And if you're not there today, that's okay. But I pray you get there. Well, you will say to him, yes, you're my Savior. Be saved from your sin. But then you'll say, and you're my Adonai. You're my master. You're my Lord. You're my King. You're in charge of my life. And I'm following every step. And I believe your word. I have the belt of truth on. The fourth one is the shoes of peace. Everyone say shoes of peace, please. This literally means to me, when I see it in scripture, shoes of peace, that means where I go. Now I'm in Christ. The strategies of the devil, one of the main strategies is division, discord, disarray, lying, slander, confusion. Pull people apart. So now I have the armor of God. Wherever I go, I have the shoes of peace. I'm not bringing distractions, I'm bringing unity. I'm not bringing division, I'm bringing unity. I'm not bringing lies and slander, I'm bringing unity. I'm not bringing drama, I'm bringing peace. I'm not bringing trouble, I'm not bringing manipulation. I'm not bringing any other thing. I am bringing an added value to the team, to the family, to the church, or wherever it is, because I have the shoes of peace on. I'm a new creature in Christ. The old man is gone, the new man has come. I have a new nature, and when I'm offended, I go to that person and talk. And when I'm upset, I go to that person and talk. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to cause division. And I'm not going to play games. Come on, somebody. That's good preaching. I have the shoes of peace, and I'm a unifier. Number five, I have the shield of faith. Everyone say shield of faith. Remember that movie? There were several movies, Gladiator, 300, whatever. They depict this time and era that Paul is writing. And the Romans had two shields. One was a small circular shield they could wield on their arm and have hand-to-hand combat. The other shield, it was about 4 feet wide, 6 feet tall. The movie 300 depicted these shields, if you saw that movie. And they would have warfare side by side, shield to shield, and they would get on the trenches and they would literally take one step at a time and just push the enemy back, hold the shield up, stab, put the shield down, and they were totally protected and just take just one step at a time. And Paul says that when you and I have the shield of faith, what's interesting is the Romans would take wet leather straps and totally saturate the shield. And when the enemy shot arrows of fire, it would hit the wet leather and it would quench the fire. And they were kept safe because they were totally hidden behind the shield of faith. And so when you and I have the shield of faith in Jesus, you and I are protected. And the fiery darts of the devil are quenched in the shield of faith. What does that mean? The shield of faith is spiritually every day I'm hiding behind Jesus. I know I'm not strong enough, folks. I'm not big and bad enough. I need Jesus to lead the way. I need Jesus to go before me. I need Jesus to help me. I need Jesus to set the tone. I need Jesus to deliver me. I need Jesus to help me. I need Jesus to vindicate me and validate me and give me victory. I'm not good enough on my own, so I hide behind the shield of faith. And when the devil shoots arrows of fire of hate or division or pain or discouragement, it's quenched in the shield of faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, the Bible says, even our faith. I want to encourage you, the safest shield, the greatest shield is the shield of faith. But some of us are tempted to have the shield of money, the shield of social media followers, the shield of false ego, the shield of sex, the shield of drugs, the shield of what I want to do and when I want to do it. Those are faulty shields and they will not withstand the onslaught of the enemy. But when I stand behind the shield of faith, God gives me victory over every battle. God gives me victory over every onslaught. I'm telling you, your marriage is going to make it. Your son is going to serve God. You're going to get out of that addiction. You're going to break the spirit of poverty. God can do a miracle in your life. And when you have the shield of faith, I don't care what arrow comes your way, it will be quenched by the power of God. Come on, give Jesus praise. This is what the Bible says. The armor of God, protection for expansion. Then, I'm almost done. Then we have the sword. When he starts playing, it's time to quit. Amen. Let's go. Good job, Wheels. Sword of the Spirit. Everyone say sword of the Spirit. This is the only piece of armor that's attack mode. The rest of the armor is protection mode. The sword of the Spirit in verse 17, the Bible says, is the word of God. Back to the Bible. So what does this look like? I'm gonna make this real practical. My mom taught me this when I was a kid. Open the Bible this week on your phone or a physical Bible. Find a verse that applies to your life right now. And then speak it out loud and put your name in it. Let me give you an example. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord is David's shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and their staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. And surely, I said, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm putting myself in the word of God, and that's what it means to use the word of God as a sword. So my challenge to you this week is to grab a verse about your marriage. My favorite verse for married couples is, they're naked, not ashamed. Come on, somebody. That is a great verse to pray. Just go to Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says, all the married couples are smiling, the singles are staring at me like, that's okay. Follow God. Children, there's verses for children. Isaiah 59, my children shall be taught of the Lord, great shall be their peace. Acts 16, 31, for me and my house, we shall be saved. So I want to encourage you this week, please don't listen to this message and say that was good or a bad message, whatever you think of it. That's your thoughts, but do something with it. Like, go home, get a verse for you about mental health, physical health, finances, whatever. Let's do something about it. Let's have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and speak the word of God out and let God begin to move in your life. And you would say, well, what if nothing happens when I say it? You keep on saying it until it does happen. Let me give you an example of this. In the Old Testament, when Moses went before Pharaoh, the first sign, the first plague, so to speak, Moses dropped his rod and it turned to a snake. And the magicians, the sorcerers, from Egypt under demonic power, dropped their rods and they turned to snakes too. And then the Bible says that Moses' rod swallowed up the other snakes. So the true God showed up in the end. And so to speak, just stay with me. When you speak the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, when you use that and you use the word of God, what happens is, it's not gonna always happen right away, but when the enemy tries to counterfeit or have things against you or put things on you or, you know, attack you, I just believe that as you speak the word of God, it's like that Old Testament miracle. God's word's gonna swallow up the enemy's words. God's way is gonna work. His word's gonna work. And you keep on praying and believing God no matter how you feel, because God is going to move in your life. How many believe that to be true? So ask God, find a Bible verse and speak it and let God. You know, every night I pray over my wife. She's a fruitful vine by the sides of my house, and my children, like all the pants, all on my table. We are blessed of the Lord amid heaven and earth. Every night, I'm just speaking. I'm using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm proactively moving in my faith, protection for expansion. And finally, the last piece of armor the Bible says is prayer. Verse 18, Paul said, pray at all times on every occasion for the saints. Everyone say prayer. This is a mystery. How do you know this? I don't know. I've seen God answer so many prayers. I know that God answers prayer. I want to encourage you. The Bible says, ask, keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock, and keep on knocking, and the door shall be open. I want to encourage you to pray and ask God and believe that God will move in your life, that God will heal you, that God will touch you, that God will move in you, that God will do a miracle in your life, and that God can come through and change people and turn them around. I want to tell you a story. The fourth time I'm closing. I met with a guy yesterday on Friday for a one-on-one time, and I said, in closing, he said, PD, you actually just told me in closing. I said, I know. It's the pastor coming through. I prayed for this one individual. This is not about me, but I want you to, I'm encouraging you. I prayed for one individual, many, but this one individual over 10 years, asking God to touch him, set him free from personal struggles. He knew me before I was saved. About 3 months ago, I saw him come to the 11:45 service. and he's been coming to church ever since. And I believe that that addiction is going to break off his life. But his mom's been praying. His family's been praying. It's not just about me. I'm just telling you, I've seen people here show up that I've been praying for, and I know God did it. I know God's using my prayers, and God will use your prayers. You keep on praying and believing, God will make a way for you. Even AJ, my son, when he broke his shoulder, some kid tripped him, and I about knocked that kid out. But he broke his shoulder playing basketball, and it was a bad diagnosis. And I didn't even know this. Our kid, he got in his room, got on some worship music, and he lifted his hand, and he said, God, just heal my shoulder. Heal it, God. And he raised his hand, and he couldn't raise it because of the break. And we went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, man, this healed about 6 weeks sooner than we thought. And I said, AJ, what happened? He said, well, actually, I prayed and God. And I said, knucklehead, you better tell me when you do this stuff. And my family is not better than your family. And when you pray, you may feel unspiritual and feeble and weak. Those are the best prayers. Those are the best times to cry out to God. He will heal your faintest cry. He will come through for you. You keep on praying. You keep on believing. God is moving when we don't see it. There is protection for expansion. God has your family on his mind, and God will help you every step of the way, and you can overcome. And so that's why tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to have our once a month prayer meeting, and I'm inviting you to come. It's early, so you can come and pray and then go home and watch the Pacers. And we're going to pray for the Pacers tonight with earnest and fervent prayers. And then we're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for the world and different things. And it's going to be powerful. Our downtown campus, we're going to pray for that. In fact, this Wednesday is our second interest meeting. And every interest meeting is different from the one before. So if you went to the first one, come back to this one on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Switchyard Park. Our goal is to have 300 people go from this campus downtown when it launches and to take downtown for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we can do it. How about you? I said, we can do it. How about you? Go ahead and bow your head and bow your heart to heaven, please. In the room and online, you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. That means you've never said, Jesus, save me. Out loud, or you have said, Jesus, save me, but in this moment, you feel like you've drifted from God. There's things in between you and him, and you need to get back to that first place, that first love, so to speak, where he's number one in your life again. We're not here to embarrass you, but we are here to help you. That's why we have you bow your head and bow your heart to make a stand for God right where you're at. And so if you would say, Pastor Dave, in this room and online, I've never done this, and or I need to get right with God and come back to him. If that's you right now, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today in this place. Awesome. God, thank you so much. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. So good. God bless you. Thank you. So good. God bless you. How many would say, Pastor Dave, I can feel the enemy. I can feel him attacking my mind or my heart. I feel him attacking my family. I feel him attacking my life. I need the armor of God. I need protection for expansion. I need Jesus to clean me and help me. If that's you, to go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room and online. Thank you. Hands up all over. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out, and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn away from that and I say yes to you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I receive your protection for my expansion. I put on the armor of God and I move forward in step with you, Jesus. Amen. Can we give Jesus a great praise? I saw about 12 people receive Christ today.